Hey, this is Mike Wilmot with Microsoft. Tonight I want to talk to you about the Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit Extender that I wrote. It's up on dbspider.codeplex.com. At the end of this presentation, I'll do a longer version of what the map tool is and what it is I'm extending. If you haven't seen an example of that, then stay tuned. Also, I'll have a sister presentation, most likely on channel 9, that you'll be able to search by my last name and find another presentation on the map tool. So I'm not going to go into the map tool tonight because I want to talk about this extender and give a fairly quick introduction on how to use it and how to get started. Ultimately, the reports that you'll generate will look a lot like this if you're using the WPF tool. If you decide to be adventurous and download and go to powerpivot.com and use PowerPivot, a friend of mine, Russell Christopher, who's a BITS, created an example that I included in the MSI file download that you're welcome to look at as an example and play around with. So what I'm going to do now in this presentation is go through the steps of how to actually install the map extender and run it. So I'm going to go through the steps on a virtual machine, and you can follow along with me. If you want, you might want to copy off these instructions somewhere or have them just in your back pocket so you can refer to them as I go through the steps. The first thing you do is you go to Microsoft.com WAC map. If you go there, you will get ultimately redirected to a TechNet site. And what you can do then is kind of get an overview of the map tool. You can go ahead and download it. There's a 5.0 kit now that it believes in CTP, Customer Technology Preview. You can use the 4.0 or 5.0. It really doesn't matter that much for the purposes of the map extender. I've tried it on both and it works fine for either one. The next thing you want to do is go to dbspider.codeplex.com. That's the add-in that I've created. It gives a quick view here of what the tool does. This tool and its simplicity and its essential nature, what it does, it helps you determine a footprint for your entire SQL Server utility, and it spans across 2000, 2005, and 2008 of SQL Server. Looks at things like what are your Windows instances, your database instances, and your databases themselves, tables and indexes, some information about all those, and surfaces those up through a WPF app. And like I said, you can use the PowerPivot piece as well. There's a download right here, so you can go ahead and download the tool if you want. Hit the I agree button, and then what you're going to do is save the download. I saved it into my C drive under DBSpider Prezo. Once you have the zip file, I'm going to go ahead and open that up, and you can see there's a MSI file and a setup.exe file. You can actually run either one of these, and you get to the same result. So I'm just going to run setup. And I'm going to put it into a C directory called cdbspider setup. Hit next. Once you run the setup, you'll see that it puts all the files into the folder that you specified. It's got an executable here that's the command line application. It's got the PowerPivot spreadsheet you can look at on your own later. You have to have the latest version of Excel for that and the PowerPivot add-on from PowerPivot.com. And then there's a WPF app, which is the visual GUI that we'll look at in a little bit. So those are the main components. There's a bunch of controls from Telerik that I'm using their WPF app. There's a README file, which you shouldn't have to really worry about because most of the information is on the CodePlex site. And there's a SQL Server script that I run on the installation. When I run DBSpider with the installation switch, it actually runs through this SQL script and installs a bunch of objects from a schema called Wilmo and runs through that and adds all these to your map database that you've already installed and run the map tool with. So now if I look at my DBSpider directory, if I do a dir on it, then we should find two executables there. And if I just type in DBSpider, this is kind of the entry point for the tool. You'll see that it's got a little kind of a help here on how to run the tool. So what I'm gonna do is an install option. So I'm gonna type in dbSpider, the name of my map instance, and then the map database with the install switch. So if I go ahead and run this command dbspider vm4 maps, which is my map instance, map40 is my map database of the install switch, what that's going to do is run that script that I showed you and install all the objects into my map40 database. I'm actually not going to do that right now because I've already done that in the past and I have a lot of data that I want to show you from that database, so I don't want to mess with that one right at this point, but that's how you do the install right there. Then what you do is you just kind of remove what we just had there a second ago. We had this install switch. Once you've done the install, then you're done with that. So then you can just go ahead and run the tool in its own right. And you can, what you'll do is just run this and let it run day after day. Just kind of let it run in the background. And what it's going to do, it's going to go out and on a daily basis, every almost 24 hours, a little less than 24 hours, what it's going to do, it's going to go out to all the SQL servers that your map tool found, and that's going to pull back all the databases in each of those SQL servers and pull that back that information into your map instance. So here's my map instance, and you remember it created these tables and sort procedures under the WILMO schema here. So what it's going to do is start filling up things like, I put them in order 0 through 4. So you've got Windows servers that dive down to SQL instances, that dive down to SQL databases, to tables, to users, to indexes. I've also made a database diagram of that. If you want to look at that, you can kind of see the relationships of all those things in this database diagram. So here's a look at the database diagram. If you see, it goes from Windows server to SQL instance to database. Databases have users, and databases have tables, and tables have indexes. So what you can do is kind of play around with that schema. If you want to do some reports on your own, you're welcome to go ahead and do that. Just know what the primary foreign key relationships are, and then you can go from there. So I'm going to go back to the map database example here, the map extender database example that I just ran. You can see that ran through this one instance, two instances here. Then it threw an error on a network issue with this server VM1. Well, that server's turned off, so that's fine. What it's going to do, it's going to log that exception into a table that I have. I believe it's called exceptions. So if you find that, if you ever want to look through all the errors that you may be experiencing on the network, you can just go down to it's called the errors table. And you can see kind of all the errors that you're having on a given date. The exceptions table, what that does, if you want to have certain machines that you don't want the tool to hit, you just list them in the exceptions table. That's how that works. So this tool ran through, found lots of databases, found lots of tables and indexes, had some errors that it logged because all these machines are either decommissioned or turned off. They were entries in my Active Directory that are kind of ghost entries. So that's great. It's going to sleep for the majority of 24 hours at this point. So I'm going to open up a second command prompt here, same directory, and I'm going to run the Windows presentation framework app from the Telerik add-in that I'm using. So I'm going to run this wpfapp.exe. What it's going to do, it's going to ask me for the same information that the other tool. Remember, the other tool we had entered in the instance name of the map server as well as the map database. Well, what we're going to do here is just enter in that same information. So let me go back to that application. So here's the application. I'm going to enter in the map server and the map database like we did in the other command prompt. Hit OK on that. And the good news is you get this really lovely WPF app that you can look at and see for my entire utility, what's my database growth and changes here. That's database size. Then you get the log size, the same thing. You can see it does it by date. If you want to kind of see what kind of strangeness happened here, you can hover over this point. And you can see that my cluster instance changed by a significant amount. So that's a nice feature. You know, if you hover over things, you can see incremental changes, major changes, and things of that nature. Now, this down here shows your instance sizes. These are the instances that I have. I can see the major ones that I have. If I hover over that, I get a nice time series on the instance growth there. So that's really helpful. Also, if you look on the right side, you can see the data space by version. So it looks like I'm mostly running Enterprise Edition, which is fantastic. And then a nice feature, if I click on one of these instances, then what you're going to see is this upper graph here. It changes from the utility to the actual instance growth, as well as this donut over here on the right changes to all the databases in that instance. So let's go ahead and click on that. And you'll see that the upper graph is updated, pretty flat line, which is, you know, which is good. It's a stable instance. And then on the right side, I see a listing of, looks like this NLP database is the majority of the space on there, and AdventureWorks is on there too. So I might want to, you know, get rid of AdventureWorks because I don't really need that as a demo server. So that's a production server. That's good to know. I want to get rid of that database, and maybe there's some other databases that I want to look at or consider. And again, this is just a really quick way of getting up and running on this tool. So hopefully that makes sense of how to set up the map extender, some of the reports that you can get both from WPF as well as from the CodePlex download that you'll see the PowerPivot application in. And you know, hopefully you like the way that I'm leveraging tools like Telerik and PowerPivot and Visual Studio and SQL Server 2008. Feel free to send me any questions that you want. I'm Mike, WILM, at Microsoft.com. Thanks for your time. This is a look at some of the things you can do with PowerPivot with the data that we've pulled from the MapTool extender. You can see here that you can click on a server name, instance name, product. What that will do is it will change the way that the data is actually filtered. You can do the same thing for things like database name. You can also combine items like business group. If you have a business group data set that you want to combine with this, you can go ahead and do that. If you look on different tabs, you'll see that you have all the data here in this tab. If you look at a different tab here, you can see there's other visualizations that you can do with PowerPivot. So really powerful stuff, something to consider. Russell Christopher was the SQL Server BITS that created this. He has a big following on the web, so if you search on Russell Christopher, you'll find that he's got a great blog out there for BI. And I'll just click some of these other tabs so you can kind of get a feel for it. But the great thing about PowerPivot, it's Excel-based, it's an in-memory database, very powerful to do slicing and dicing and get really powerful visualizations that you can see here with the data. So you can go to powerpivot.com or powerpivotpro.com to find more samples and how-tos. So hopefully that helps. Good luck, and talk to you soon.